Okay, today's lecture is a non-PowerPoint lecture, so I hope you brought paper. There are notes, so my lecture notes will be up on the web tonight. They're not up there yet, I don't think, but they will be, so you'll be able to see at least what I'm lecturing off of, which may actually correlate to what I say. Okay, a couple of announcements before we get started. I don't even know what they are. Oh, one, these are from the TAs and Mary. Do try and take a look at the facts, frequently asked questions, before emailing the TAs. It turns out that a lot of people are asking the same question, and as soon as more than one, and sometimes only one person's asked the questions, the TAs are very good about putting it up on the frequently asked questions list, so you might just take a look there. It'll get faster, right, because you can just look and see what the answer is. And so it's not just the mud cards that go up there, it's also questions that come in email or out of office hours, and so you might look at that. Second is that sections, recitation sections have started, and you should go to one. They are there to help you understand the material that you need to do for the homework and to do the class. So if you're finding that you're struggling or you have lots of questions, that's why we have the sections. The recitation schedule is up on the webpage. Third thing is that we're going to cancel Mary's section. That section was 4 to 5 p.m. on Thursday. We're canceling that in part to give Mary a little bit more time to help out with other things, but also to have special tutorials. And so since MATLAB is still something that some people are learning, there will be a MATLAB Simulink tutorial on Thursday from 4 to 5. MATLAB Simulink tutorial. Thursday to 4 to 5. Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. in 306 Thomas. Okay, and if this time doesn't work for you, but you still want to go, or you still need help with MATLAB, email Mary and she'll work something out. Okay, Laura, there was something else that you had given me that you'd said. Did I get it? Okay, good. And a fifth one for me is... Are the TAs keeping track of who's coming to office hours?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Good. So, if you haven't been to office hours at least once or more times. So, in particular, a requirement of the course is that you show up to office hours at least once in the first 3 weeks. This is week three. All you got to do is show up. All right, you don't have to ask a question, you don't have to do anything, but you got to at least show up. So if you haven't shown up, we are keeping a list. Please make sure to show up. Okay, any other administrative things, questions? Yeah?
When are office hours?
Oh, I'm guessing you haven't shown up yet. they are Fridays from 3 to 4, is that right?
Yes.
And Sundays from 6 to 8. And they are in the first floor of Thomas, 110 or 114.
Steel.
Steel. I don't even know if you can still see that from there. And that's also on the webpage, if you forget. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so what I want to do today is to talk about Lyapunov stability analysis. And as I already hinted on Monday, this is one of the topics that takes a little while to understand. Obviously, I think it's important because we keep it in the class, and it is a very useful technique for understanding stability of nonlinear systems in particular. The reading for this material is Asterman Murray, section 4.3. So the next two lectures, we're just going to spend on that one section, essentially. Well, section 4.3 today, and if we get to it, some of section 4.4 on Friday. Okay? Question? Okay. All right, so I'm going to review just a little bit so I can define the notation better, some of the things that I said on Monday, but that won't take all that long. So let's just do a couple of basic definitions that we've already seen, but let me say them more carefully. So I'm going to consider a closed-loop system. So just to be precise, normally when we look at ODEs, we'll look at an ODE that has inputs and outputs like this. So X is the state, U is the input, Y is the output. But here what I want to do is I want to close the loop. So I'm going to assume that the input is chosen as some function of the state. Now, I could have chosen as some function of the output. I could have put controller dynamics. I'm assuming that I've sort of put all of the dynamics I care about here, and now, as a function of the state of the system, I'm going to choose the input. That's a certain type of feedback called state feedback. It's what we'll be studying for the next couple of weeks. And if I do this, then I'm left with a dynamical system, and I'll write it as f of x. And, of course, f of x is just f of, little f, of x. K of x. Right? So big f of x is just little f of x, k of x. And here we'll have some initial condition, x0, and the state itself will also be just an n vector, so an n-dimensional state. So this is the, for today and tomorrow and Friday, that's the class of systems we're going to look at. And for a system of that form, we'll say that a point xe in Rn is an equilibrium point if f of xe equals 0. So if I start there, I stay there. And without loss of generality, which from here on out I will write as WLOG. So, without loss of generality, we can assume that XE is equal to 0. Why? Any ideas? We've seen, right, equilibrium points that didn't have x equals 0, right? The pendulum had one up, one down. They both couldn't be 0. Any ideas? Well, suppose that it's not 0, right? Then I can just shift the system to that point. So in particular, right, if xe is not equal to 0, then I can define z to be x minus x0. Right? This is a new set of coordinates that are shifted, and I can write down a differential equation for z dot. And what's that differential equation going to be? Well, z dot is equal to x dot, just by taking the derivative. x0 is a constant, the initial condition. X dot is f of x, but x is just z plus, or I'll write it as x0 plus z. x0 plus z. And this is, I'll define this to be a new function just of z. Right? x0 is fixed.
x0 should be equal to
Sorry, XE. Thank you. So XE, not X0, right? So I'm going to shift it to the equilibrium point. And now we notice that F tilde of 0 is just F of XE, but by definition of an equilibrium point, this was 0. So in my new coordinates, the equilibrium point is at Z equals 0. So I can shift it that way. But note that F, my original function, can have multiple equilibrium points. And you need to shift each one separately. Meaning that if I have a phase portrait that, for example, has an equilibrium point here, an equilibrium point here, an equilibrium point here, one here, like we had with the inverted pendulum, right, and some dynamics around these things, then I can set it so that this equilibrium point is at zero in the z-coordinates, or this one is at zero, or this one is at zero, but obviously I can't set them all to be zero. So you have to pick the equilibrium point that you are asking about, consistent, right, with the fact that when we ask about stability, it's for a given equilibrium point. So from now on, whenever I say we have an equilibrium point, I'm going to go ahead and assume that that equilibrium point has been shifted to zero, and if it hasn't, you need to shift it. Right? And you'll see that in some of the examples. Clear? Okay. All right, so now we can do our definitions of stability, this time with a little bit more math and a little bit fewer pictures. So we'll say an equilibrium point, XE, of equation 1, and this is equation 1, is stable in the sense of Lyapunov. And I'll usually just write that as stable ISL, like that. If for any epsilon greater than 0, there exists a delta greater than 0, such that the following condition is true. If my initial condition, x at time 0, minus my equilibrium point is less than delta, then that implies that my state at time t minus the equilibrium point, so the distance from the equilibrium point is less than delta, implies at initial time, implies that the distance from the equilibrium point at time t is less than epsilon for all t greater than 0. And this, if you've not seen the symbol before, is for all. Okay? So this is exactly what I said before, but now as a mathematically precise statement. I think I had this, but I didn't have this in the lecture on Monday. Okay? So what does this mean? So there's the definition. So what's interesting about it is that first, it doesn't say that I converge to the equilibrium point, right? It just says I stay nearby. But it says something else. It says that you get to tell me how nearby you want to stay, right? That's epsilon. And I have to give you a delta such that you stay that nearby. All right. So, for example, if I have a dynamical system, and let's say that the sort of trajectories of that system, you know, go something like this, right? So, you know, suppose it's a full phase portrait. Then I might say, well, okay, I would like the distance to be this. All right, so let me actually change colors. So that we can kind of get these things right. Where did my green go? Now I just need a better green. Okay, so this is my ball of radius epsilon. That's another way around XE. That's another notation that we'll use for the set of all points x such that the norm of x minus xe is less than epsilon. I think this is a curly brace. Okay. So If I say I want all points to live inside this ball of radius epsilon, if the system is stable, I now have to be able to find a delta such that that's true. So, that's probably okay. For example, I might say, all right, there's my candidate delta. Right? Now, is that delta an appropriate delta for this epsilon? Is it true that every initial condition inside here stays inside here? No, right? See that initial condition right there? If I start there, what happens, right? I go outside my ball, epsilon. Okay? But that doesn't mean that it's not stable in the sense of Lyapunov. That just means that this delta wasn't good enough. There exists a delta. Right? What if I choose, for example, that delta? Right? So you'd have to look at the phase portrait, but you can kind of see what it's going to look like, right? If I start in here, I might go out to here, right? But I'm still inside my radius epsilon. Right? So in fact, anything starting in here, you can kind of see, right? I mean, it's not going to get very far away. So this is a picture of a system that is stable in the sense of Lyapunov. It also happens to be asymptotically stable, right? But you give me the epsilon, I pick the delta. And the delta can be arbitrarily small. Right? So when could it not be stable? Well, if it turned out that you had a dynamical system that no matter how close you started to the origin, it always shot out to a radius 1 before coming back, right? I always traveled out this far before coming back, then it wouldn't be stable in the sense of Lyapunov, even if it came back, right? Stable in the sense of Lyapunov means that I can give you a ball of any size I want, and you have to be able to give me a set of initial conditions so that I stay there. Okay? All right, so it's a kind of subtle definition. We won't use all of the subtlety in it in this class, but if you take courses, for example, like CDS 221, it matters that we've defined it this way. Leave that up. Okay, so questions on that? The picture kind of clear? We'll do more with it so you'll see more.
It always has to be a certain kind of
So in the way that we've defined it here, this norm, right, is, so what, just to make sure, since I didn't say it, when I write the norm of a vector V, what I mean by that is the square root of V transpose V, right? So this, you know, the square root of V1 squared plus V2 squared plus V3 squared up to plus Vn squared, right? So in the definition of stable in the sense of Lyapunov, it is always a circle in this sense. Turns out, so I'll say this a little bit more generally, if you have any space that's topologically equivalent, then it doesn't matter. Right? So, said another way, I could have made the definition allow ellipses, but it wouldn't matter because I could always just take the circle that was inside the ellipse. Right? So you give me an epsilon, you give me an ellipse of size epsilon, I find a circle inside that. Right? Now I'll find a circle that's small enough that I stay inside my circle, therefore I'll stay inside your ellipse, and I choose my delta ellipse to be an ellipse inside the inner circle. Did that make sense? So in other words, you give me an ellipse. Suppose I defined this and I wanted to use ellipses rather than circles. So suppose this was the ellipse of radius epsilon. We'll call it E sub epsilon. I will now take a ball of radius delta, of radius epsilon, that fits inside this. Now, if it's stable in the sense of Lyapunov, I can find a ball. I'll make it bigger. I can find a ball of radius delta, ball, circle, such that if I start in here, I stay in here. Now I'll choose my ellipse to be in there. Since my ellipse is inside my ball, if I start in here, I stay inside this ball. Since this ball is inside this ellipse, it's okay. All right? Fun, huh? All right. I like it. Okay, so that's what we mean by stable in the sense of Lyapunov. The definition that we'll use most of the time is asymptotically stable. So we say that an equilibrium point is, an equilibrium point, and here I'll write it as Xe equals 0 without loss of generality, is locally asymptotically stable. Which you will often see abbreviated as LAS, which I don't like, or locally ASCII stable, which I do like. I don't know why. If the following conditions are true, first one is that XE equals 0 is stable ISL. Second one is that XE equals 0 is, I'm going to define another term in the middle of my definition, locally attractive. And what do I mean by that? I mean, in the line of these things, that there exists a delta greater than 0. Oh, sorry. Have I defined this one yet? That's there exists. There exists a delta greater than 0 such that if x at t0, sorry, my notes, I think before I've been using 0, right? Back here we'll say without loss of generality, t0 equals 0. Okay? Why is that without loss of generality? Suppose that I wanted to start at a different time, because this doesn't depend on time, I could shift time, same trick. Okay? So I'm going to assume that I start at time t equals 0, because it doesn't matter, right? Time doesn't appear in the equation. Okay, so you can just replace this with 0 if that helps. If I start within 0, I already know that I stay within a ball of size epsilon for some appropriate epsilon, but now I also want that the limit as t approaches infinity of x of t is equal to 0. So now I really need to converge. And so the picture that might go along with this one we can also pull from our example from Monday. So suppose that I have an equilibrium point here, and I have some region of attraction that looks, I don't know, like this, right? Sort of reminiscent of the pendulum equilibrium attraction from Monday. So, and remember the trajectories of that kind of went wrapping around like this. Maybe not quite so looped. But suppose that this is my region of attraction. For the equilibrium point at the origin, I might have other equilibrium points out here. That's okay. Then what I need to be true is that I can find a delta. It will always be inside my region of attraction, right? Such that any initial condition in here, first, that the equilibrium point has to be stable ISL. Second, that any equilibrium point in here converges to this point. It's okay for it to go outside of that circle and come back. We've already captured the, right, sort of staying nearby in the ISL part. And this delta is a different delta. Right? It doesn't have to be the same delta. So this is a ball of radius delta, and here delta is not equal to delta 1 or delta 2, or you know, not equal to delta ISL, right? The delta from my previous definition. Necessarily. Could be, but doesn't have to be. Yeah, Cleem, can you get a question? No. Okay. All right, so what do these two imply, right? I mean, just I'll say this again. It's important that something is asymptotically stable means that it is stable first in the sense of Lyapunov. So in particular, suppose that I gave you a dynamical system where what happened was that all trajectories, no matter where I started, always had to go out and around this point before they came back in. Right? So no matter where I started from, right, I always sort of went out around this part and came back in. Right? An orbit around the sun maybe looks like that, or something. You got to go around the moon before you, I don't know, something, right? I've got a dynamical system, I've got a phase portrait, it looks like this. Be careful, this point, right? And maybe it turns out that every initial condition ends up at this point, not asymptotically stable, because it's not stable in the sense of Lyapunov, right? Because if I tell you, please stay within a ball of radius epsilon, you cannot find a delta such that you stay inside that ball. Because I define the system by saying that you always have to go out around this point. So that's an example of a system that you'll get confused. You'll say, oh yeah, this is an asymptotically stable equilibrium point, globally. It's not. Because you need this too. And while that may not matter for... may not seem like it matters, it does, because if you're not careful, what happens is that if you start close, right, you go far away. And that's a bad thing in a control system, right? You want that if I'm pretty close, I don't have to go arbitrarily far away. All right, so that's the definition of the stable part. Let's just quickly define unstable, which is just not stable.
What's the key to drawing large
You could, but in the definition it says for any epsilon. So it has to be true that for any epsilon I give you, you have to find a delta. So you, in other words, it's true that if I drew epsilon big enough, right, then maybe it would turn out that if I started small, I stayed in. But the definition is that it must be true that for any epsilon greater than zero, I can find a delta. Good question. Okay, so a couple of others. An equilibrium point, Xe equals zero, is unstable if it is not stable ISL. That's an unstable equilibrium point. Counterintuitive, but that's the definition. Those types of weird things don't happen very often, but occasionally they do. There's a phenomena in control systems called peaking, where you can go arbitrarily far away before you come back in. That's an example of this. It happens in adaptive control systems. It was incorrectly given at one point as the failure mode for the YF-22, which is the precursor to the F-22. I actually thought it was a peaking phenomenon in adaptive controller. Turned out it was a different thing. Yeah?
So do you have like two conditions for something to be able to do stable?
Yes.
What's the example where the follows the first condition, but not the second one?
Oh, good question. So, the question was, what's an example of something where it's stable in the sense of Lyapunov, but not locally attractive? Really easy one. I'll just write it down as a dynamical system. That system. All right? So, let me draw you the phase portrait of this, and it'll become a little bit more clear. The phase portrait for this system is circles around the origin. Okay? So, this system is as an equilibrium point at the origin. It's stable in the sense of Lyapunov, because if you give me any ball of radius epsilon, right, I'll just choose delta equal to epsilon. Right? They're all circles, so you just stay inside it. And this is exactly the type of thing where you get an oscillation that depends on the initial condition. The size of the oscillation depends on the initial condition. This looks like a limit cycle that I defined. Did I do this the right way? X1 dot is X2. So if X2 is positive, So this is also a limit cycle. There are actually an infinite number of limit cycles here, one for each initial condition. But it's an example of something that is stable in the sense of Lyapunov, but not asymptotically stable. Okay, so we got unstable, and I defined this as locally stable, saying it was locally attractive, and so we can also talk about globally stable. So we'll say an equilibrium point, Xe equals zero, is globally stable. If stable ISL and lim x or t rather approaches infinity of x of t equals zero for all x in Rn. So globally stable just means that instead of only converging nearby the equilibrium point, all points converge to the equilibrium point, any initial condition. That's stable globally. Okay, so we have these three notions of stability, well, I guess four. Stable in the sense of Lyapunov, asymptotically stable, unstable, and globally stable. But as I already mentioned on... I'm going to leave that one up, actually. As I already mentioned on Monday, stability and performance aren't necessarily the same. And so there's another type of stability that is often used when you care about performance, at least at some level. Okay, so let me just put it as Mark. Stability not equal to performance. And let me give you just a simple example. If I have a system, a scalar system now, just x dot equals minus x, x in R, or I have a system x dot equals minus x cubed, x in R, then it turns out that both of these are stable. That's a little proof that we'll do in a second. But the solutions have very different form. In particular here, the solution is just x equals e to the minus t x at time 0. That's the solution of that differential equation. The solution here, so this is x of t, turns out to be 1 over square root of 1 plus t times x of 0. And you can plug that in and verify that that works. So what does the convergence of this look like? If I plot as a function of time, the state x, starting from some initial condition, then the first one goes like that, exponentially fast down. The second one actually goes as 1 over root t, which is actually very, very slow. Right? So you can plot it out, right? You know, sort of calculate out e to the minus t for t equals 100. That's 1 over 2.7, right, to the 100th power. That's like 0 with, you know, 10 to the minus, right, 50, 10 to the minus 30 or something like that, right? What's this at t equals 100? 1 over 100, right? So 0.01, pretty big, right, for 100 seconds. So this type of very slow convergence versus this type of very fast convergence is important, and so there's another definition of stability, which is exponential stability, that captures that. So we'll say an equilibrium point, xc equals 0, is exponentially stable. If there exists an m, an alpha, and an epsilon, all positive, such that the following is true: the norm of x is less than or equal to m e to the minus alpha t minus t0 times the norm of x of t0. And this has to be true for all x of 0 whose norm is less than epsilon, that's where the epsilon comes in, and time bigger than the initial time. And we say that the largest alpha for which this is true is called the rate of convergence. All right, so what does this look like as a picture? So the idea is simple enough. Suppose I have a system that decays exponentially at some rate e to the minus alpha t, like that one decayed at rate 1, right? Alpha was equal to 1. Then it decays quite fast, exponentially fast. So this is going down to 0 exponentially fast. Now, you'll notice that here there's this constant m that occurs. And m has to be positive, but it doesn't have to be less than 1. The reason that's there is that I might have a system that, for example, I start at some low value, but there's some transient, and it converges to 0, but with some oscillations. as long as there's an exponential above that that's converging at rate alpha, it's still exponentially stable. And now, of course, alpha is a performance measure, right? Higher alpha means faster rate of convergence. And so we're starting to talk about stability with bounds alpha, and that's a performance measure. And so in some of the Lyapunov work, and we won't really cover it in this class, but if you take more advanced classes, one of the things you do is you not only try and prove that it's asymptotically stable, but also that it's exponentially stable, and you try and find bounds on the rate of convergence, because that gives me some performance measure. Okay, and this is the strongest type of stability. I should be careful. I'm sure there are stronger types, but for engineering systems that you're designing, this is the strongest type that you're ever designed to, and you almost always try and design something to be exponentially stable. Unless you could prove that it wasn't possible for it to be exponentially stable, you design it to be exponentially stable. It has some other good properties. Okay. So, that's just how we define stability. We haven't said anything yet about how do we actually check for it, right? Now, on Monday, I sort of drew pictures and said, okay, well, here's what they look like. But as we start getting to more refined types of stability, like exponential stability and other things, pictures aren't going to cut it. And so we need to do a little bit more. And that's where Lyapunov theory comes in. So we're going to define the notion of something called a Lyapunov function. We need to define a couple of things before that to get going. So we'll say that a continuous function v taking Rn to R. So this means that if x is in Rn, v of x is a real number in R. It's just a vector. It's a function that takes a vector and returns a real number. We'll say that a continuous function v is locally positive definite and usually write f. It's a locally positive definite function. Is a locally positive definite function, LPDF, if for some epsilon greater than 0, we have that v0 equals 0, and vx is greater than 0 for all x not equal to 0, and norm of x less than epsilon. We'll say that V is locally positive semi-definite if V of 0 equals 0 and V of X is greater than or equal to 0 for all X not equal to 0, norm X less than epsilon. And we will write I'll just do it up here. So for this thing, we'll write V curly greater than sine 0, and for this thing, we'll write V curly greater than sine with a bar underneath it, 0. Right? So, I'll show you some examples in a second, but why am I defining a different notation? It's not true that V is greater than 0. Right? It's equal to 0 at the origin. It's just every place else it's greater than 0. So the curly greater than 0 means that it's bigger than 0 every place except the origin. V greater than equal to 0 is also 0 here. but it's greater than or equal to 0 here. And so I could have just written V of x greater than or equal to 0, but also we sort of capture, at least in principle, the locally here. It's just to remind you, right, that it's a locally positive definite function or semi-positive definite function. All right, so so we'll write those two things. Okay, example of... Example of a locally positive definite function. Let's take x and R2. Right. So it's true that x is always bigger than 0, right? Sum of two positive numbers. And if v of x is equal to 0, then the only way that can happen is if both x1 and x2 are equal to 0. So it's locally positive definite. In fact, this one is globally positive definite. It doesn't depend on epsilon, right? It's always a positive definite number. Example of a function which is positive semi-definite. Still in R2, x1 squared. Why? Because if I evaluate v at 0 and anything else, c, right, where c is an arbitrary number, that's 0. Right? So let's call this v1 and this v2. Right? Example of a function that is positive definite but only locally. Okay, this one's a little harder to see, but what happens if x is very, very close to the origin? Right? Then this term is much, much smaller than x1 squared. Right? So if you think about just plotting as a function of x1, x1 squared minus x1 cubed, it's clear that if x is very large, right, then x1 squared is smaller than x1 cubed. But if x is very small, it's the opposite. And so this is a function that looks like, well, it probably goes something like this, right? Let's see. This is going up quadratically. So it goes like this and then drops off cubically. All right? Oops. Sorry, did I do it right? Minus x1 cubed. No, like this. Keeps going up. Right? So you can plot it. That's what it looks like. So just in this x1 coordinate, right, it's positive as long as epsilon is, right, in that range, but it's negative outside that. So there's the epsilon. Everybody see that? All right. This is going to come up a lot when we prove stability. So we're going to use these locally positive definite functions to prove stability. All right, so here's the big theorem. And we'll see if I also have time to do an example. Yeah, probably. Okay, so let v of x be a non-negative function on Rn, and let v dot represent the time derivative of v along trajectories of 1. 1 was my system, my original system from the very beginning. So, in particular, what I mean by that is that dv by dt of x is defined to be the partial derivative of v with respect to x, think of it like the chain rule, times the derivative of x with respect to time, and that's equal to the partial derivative of v with respect to x times f of x. Right? So I'm really defining this. Well, so what I mean by this colon is I'm defining the term on the left here. Okay? It's the natural definition. It's just that if I take v dot and v is a function of x, right? It's not clear that I can take the time derivative, but when I have a system lying around, I can take the derivative along the flow of the system. Okay, so let BR be a ball of radius 0 around the origin. So without loss of generality, I'm going to assume x is equal 0. So BR equal BR of 0, ball of radius 0 around my equilibrium point, which without loss of generality I'll take to be 0. Then, if there exists an r greater than 0 such that ball of radius r. Thank you. Around 0. Thanks. Such that V is locally positive definite on BR and V dot is locally negative semi-definite on BR. So negative semi-definite, right? You just switch this inequality from V greater than or equal to 0 to V less than or equal to 0. Then XE is stable in the sense of Lyapunov. And if V is locally positive definite on BR and V dot is locally negative definite on BR, then XE is locally asymptotically stable. So this gives us a testable condition. In other words, if I want to prove that an equilibrium point is stable in the sense of Lyapunov, I have to be able to find, well, I can do that if I can find a V that's locally positive definite such that the V dot is locally negative semi-definite. And if I want to be asymptotically stable, I can do that if I can find a V positive definite such that V dot is negative definite. All right, so a couple of remarks and a simple example, and then I'll do a real example when we get to on Friday. And the example I'm going to do on Friday, just to give you a heads up, is very similar to problem 3 on your homework set. So if you had questions, if you've already looked at the homework set and had questions, you want to come to lecture on Friday. Or you can read the book. It's the same example as the one that's in the book. Okay, so remarks. So first off, we call V of X a Lyapunov function. And I should say we call V of X satisfying the conditions of the theorem. So if I have a V such that this is true, then I call it a Lyapunov function. And the idea is that V tells us something about the energy. And I don't mean energy as a mechanical system or a chemical system. I mean somehow energy in a little bit more abstract sense. The idea is the following, which is suppose I have an equilibrium point here, and suppose that I tell you that I'm going to look at a level set of V. And suppose that it's the case that the system always, the trajectories of the system always cut inside this level set. Then I can draw another V at a smaller value. Right? And if it's also true that all of the trajectories cut inside that one, right? Then I can move to a smaller one, a smaller one. In other words, if I have V and I know that V is always getting smaller, right? Then I know that my solutions must be living inside of a smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller V as my system evolves. Right? So what happens as T goes out to infinity? If V is strictly negative definite, right, then V must go to zero. What happens if V goes to zero? X must be equal to zero, right? Because that's the only place V is equal to zero. So it must converge. So that's the way you prove it. And what's nice about it is that I don't have to look at every possible trajectory in some sense. I simply have to solve for a Lyapunov function that tells me what a whole family of trajectories do all at once. That's why it's a powerful idea. It's an idea that comes up, as I mentioned on Monday, in many places besides just control theory. Turns out, finding computer science, finding all sorts of different mathematical proofs, this notion of telling me something about an entire set of systems or set of trajectories all at once. All right, so let me just do a really simple example. This one's almost so simple that it's not worth... So there's a system, two-dimensional. You could draw the phase portrait for it. And if I said, prove, so it's got an equilibrium point at x equals 0, right, which in the plane is this. If I said, prove to me that it's stable, and you just gave me a plot, I'd say, oh, but what about in between the lines? So then you'd refine it, right? But how do you really know? So here's how you can really know. Let's take V of x equal x1 squared plus x2 squared. And just to keep, I guess I'll leave it like that. What's V dot of x? Well, you can follow this definition over here, but it works just to differentiate it. So V dot of x is 2x1 times x1 dot plus 2x2 times x2 dot. Right? I just took the time derivative of that. Now I substitute in the velocity, the flow of the system. So 2x1, x1 dot is minus x1 minus x2 plus 2x2, which is minus x2. So what is this? This is minus 2x1 squared minus 2x1 x2 minus 2x2 squared. Yeah? Okay. Negative definite, negative semi-definite. I mean, all the terms are negative, but remember here, x1 could be positive and x2 could be negative, so this could be a positive term, right? And I can't tell you whether it's positive or negative. These ones are okay. They're always negative. So you got to do a little bit more work on it. You need to complete the squares or rewrite this as a sum of squares. And so, in fact, you can check, that, and I'll show you how to check this more automatically on Friday, that this is the same as that. This is now negative definite. Why? That's a negative number. That's a negative number. Well, that's a positive number with a minus sign in front of it. That term's negative. That term's negative. No matter what, it's negative. If it's equal to zero, each of these terms has to be equal to zero. And so in particular, x1 and x2 have to be equal to zero. So this is the proof that this system is asymptotically stable to the origin. In fact, it turns out that this same Lyapunov function proves that the system is exponentially stable to the origin, and you can actually use it to get a bound on the rate of convergence. So we can say quite a lot about this system with Lyapunov functions. Okay, so as I say, this is too simple an example to show the power of the methods, but what I will do is do a little bit more on some of the theory on Friday, and then go through a much more detailed example and show you how to use Lyapunov functions for realistic systems. Okay, see you Friday.